The radical playwright Sarah Kane's final work, 448 Psychosis, drew on her own experience of clinical depression. With no characters as such and no stage directions, it's a play best described as a poetic and angry exploration of the experience itself. Sarah Kane took her own life in 1999 before its first performance. Now it's been turned into a powerful chamber opera by the young composer Philip Venables, following a three-year residency at the Royal Opera House and Guildhall School of Music and Drama. After seeing a rehearsal, I asked director Ted Huffman and first composer Philip Venables himself what it was about 448 Psychosis that made them think it was the right material for an opera.
Well, I love, most of all, the really avant-garde kind of formalised structure of it, so that you get these massively different text registers in it and very, very little dialogue, which I often find very problematic in opera setting kind of normal dialogue, and this has very little of it.
What about for you, Ted?
Yeah, it's a play made out of poetry, and that, you know, lends itself very immediately to music, I think.
Opens.
And what we see on stage, you know, we see the white walls of what could be some kind of institutional space, the orchestra arranged around above it, so that sense of the music and the visuals together. We see words projected onto screens, and crucially we see several women dressed identically, all different and yet somehow all the same, moving around each other, interacting. Is it the sense of a fractured mind? Is it the sense of a multiplicity of people?
Yeah, our idea is to create a hive mind in which six women are all voicing parts of this character's thoughts and feelings.
And I think you see that also in Sarah Kane's text. Even though it doesn't describe any number of characters, the writing is very polyphonic through the way it's spaced on the page and just contradictory statements next to each other. It has this real multiplicity of voices in it.
And something touches.
This is a play which has so little in the way of instructions, it doesn't even have characters. How then did you work together as director Ted and composer Philip in actually putting together a sound and a visual production?
Well, one thing that I love about what Philip's made is that it has a lot of room in it. And I feel like Sarah Kane's text also has a lot of room in it. She leaves room for the director. And it's almost a challenge she lays down. She says, you know, here's this text, what will you do with it? So for me, that's an invitation, and it feels very much like an invitation to collaborate with him. So even though text comes first and the music comes second in chronological order and staging comes third, it felt like I was being included in that creation process from the beginning.
How did it work practically then? Did you start writing scenes and then talk to Ted about visuals, or did you have a visual idea already, Philip?
I think it started before we even got to that stage, because it started with a lot of talk about concepts, because with this text you have to start really right from first principles. And I was very, very keen, or we were both very keen, to kind of make a piece that was a total theatre experience and a very tight collaboration between theatre and words and music.
Stumble over words, stumble over words, and have nothing to say about it.
But even just things like having that white room, having chairs and a table that look like they could be institutional, having the doors with the light from outside, which could be daylight, it could be artificial light, that sense of, we're not really sure if you're in the real world or if you're in some kind of bubble. How did those ideas develop?
They developed from a lot of talking about what the world was and us being clear that we wanted to make the world feel abstract in the sense that you didn't know where you were. That's why the walls have no detail to them and the doors have no detail and the chairs are specific but also a little bit unidentifiable. You can't say that's a chair that should be in a dining room or in a classroom. So that was the aim. And that came right from Philip's first ideas about, you know, not wanting to make a narrative work that created a psychologically realistic situation, which I agree is the most interesting kind of theatre.
Musically, was there anything you drew on, Philip, in composing?
I think the reason I chose to work with this text in the first place was because I could see that it gave me opportunities to push what I had been exploring with my previous work, to push that further. So I did an awful lot of preparatory work, I mean, about 6 months of preparatory work and talking to people about the text and people who knew her and people who worked in theatre before even writing a single note of music. And I think when I got to, you know, a tricky bar here or whatever, that really stood me in good stead.
Which anyway amounts only to no point in anything because I deadlocked by that smooth psychiatric voice.
And how would you describe, for people who are a general audience, the music that you were composing, stylistically perhaps?
It's very eclectic. I hope some of it is very boisterous and kind of energising. Some of it is pretty creepy, and it makes lots of references to other things. So we have references to computer game music, we have TV playing, we have kind of a circus barrel organ. So, you know, it's kind of horror movie references, and try to go for quite an unusual orchestration, slightly to just bring it away from possibly what we normally expect chamber opera to be.
Ted, there will be people thinking, you know, is this a play about what it's like to be inside a disturbed mind? And I wonder what you would say in terms of a plot arc there is to 448 Psychosis and your operatic version.
For an audience coming to this piece, Sarah Kane is pushing them as far as they can go in terms of experiencing something which is a tragedy. And I see theatre as a life-affirming act, and so she's pushing that to the very edge of what is possible. And she does that in Cleansed, she does it in Blasted. She asks us, you know, how far can we go into the tragedy and still feel, you know, the reasons why it's worth living? And that's what is amazing about this particular piece, is that it really asks you what is worth living for.
And something touches me.
Ted Huffman and Philip Venables. The Royal Opera House's 448 Psychosis is at the Lyric Theatre Hammersmith in London until Saturday. Tomorrow on Front Row, playwright Roy Williams on his stage play Soul about Marvin Gaye, and Neil Gaiman on his Likely Stories TV series. Do join John Wilson at 7:15.